My mind's telling me no. But my body's telling me yes, baby.
You are flying high on an emergency podcast because Alshon Jeffrey just got re-signed for 4 years. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, Grandstand Sports Network. Follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. As always, I'm joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7 Year Streak Without a Bad Day, DJ Frog with Pockets. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, instant reaction. What is happening? Tell me, please.
So Alshon Jeffrey re-signed this morning by the, actually, we shouldn't say re-signed, extended this morning by the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's what we currently know. Adam Schefter was the one to break the deal. $52 million over 4 years. That's a $13 million per year average. That includes $1 million per year in incentives. Now, that's not specified as to, is it $12 million base and then that $1 million in incentives can make it up to $13 million per year, or is it already $13 million and can go up to $14 million? I think it's $13 to $14 million, but I'm not positive there. So that would definitely change the demographic of this deal for sure. There's also $27 million guaranteed over the 4 years. That's an average of 6.75 million guaranteed over the 4 years. Now, to put that comparatively for you right now, $13 million per year would put Alshon Jeffrey tied seventh among competitive NFL contracts. That's about equal to how much T.Y. Hilton makes guaranteed per year. It's about seven. That's seventh on the list. Now, if you were to look at guaranteed numbers, guaranteed per year at 6.75 million per year, that's going to be the fifth highest number as far as per year guaranteed goes among wide receivers. And then $27 million is the fourth highest just gross guaranteed number for wide receiver contracts that we see. So what is this telling us as far as how the Philadelphia Eagles view Alshon Jeffrey? He's valuable, right? We've talked about this on the podcast that we're not sure if Alshon Jeffrey, you and I, is ever going to have that true wide receiver one volume, those true wide receiver one numbers. It's clear that Philadelphia is willing to pay him like one. And the question becomes why. You know, he's at the point right now where he's not on pace for a 1,000-yard season. You know, he's not necessarily on pace for a 10-touchdown season, though. With the way he's been performing in the red zone, I think that one is more up for debate. So what's really the onus behind this contract push right here? I think there's two things to be discussed. Number one, the big one is the fact that the 2019, not 2018 coming up, but a year from now, the 2019 free agent wide receiver class is pretty historic, right? You've got in that class the rookies of Amari Cooper and Odell Beckham Jr. and Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, all of those contracts expiring in 2019, right? And so those players are going to hugely inflate the wide receiver market when that comes around, right? That's going to be massive. You throw in, there's like, you know, Golden Tate's in there, you know, there's a couple names in 2018 that'll make some money. Why, like Jeffrey's contract will likely not be top 10. I said it was tied for seventh as far as just per year, non-guaranteed. It likely will not be top 10 by 2020, right? Which would be halfway through his contract. Of course, we haven't seen how it's front-loaded and back-loaded yet. You know, we'll kind of figure that out. My thought would be that it's probably a little bit back-loaded given the fact that the Eagles are strapped for cash right now. You know, but we'll see how that goes. So I think that that's a huge impetus, number one, the fact that you have that 2019 class that's going to really inflate the market. And I think the second biggest thing is that they very much, you sign Jeffrey here, you can just wipe wide receiver off of your immediate needs coming into that draft. And you don't have a second or a third round selection. You don't have to worry about that in the offseason. Really, the only big need that there could potentially be is offensive lineman with linebacker as a sneaky suspicion. But we'll get into that more as we go along. What are you thinking about this contract?
Yeah, so when I scouted him in the summer, and I have this piece up over at LockedOnEagles.com, so go check that out. It's under the player evaluations tab. The summary I had for him, overall, a starting X wide receiver you can win with. Excels on the outside and vertically, limited after the catch, scheme versatile, capable of making an impact on all three levels of the passing game. I still think that's true. There's three levels to the way that you talk about these guys when you scout them. There's people that you can win because of, players that you win with, and players that you win in spite of. So I'm calling him a mid-tier starting X. And what I mean by starting X is a wide receiver that is typically tethered to the line and is going to see more press because he's right up there with the cornerback and can't come detached off the line. So I think he wins that way for us. I think that is rare to find a wide receiver that can contribute like him. Again, this is an offense that uses multiple pieces. We spread the ball around. You see it every week in the box score. Carson Wentz gets it to a lot of different targets. The thing that concerns me with Alshon this year that has kind of been cleaned up recently because it's been better is his catch rate and his historical catch rate as well. It's not just this year, so you can't put it all on chemistry. So for instance, his catch rate for, let's see here, from 2012 and on, 50%, 60%, 58%, 57%, 55%. This year he's at 48%. 48% is really low for him, despite him normally having low catch rate numbers. But then you look at the last three games for him where he's really come on, 54.5%, 57%, 55%. So the chemistry seems like it's been better because not all of those, that catch rate is on him. In fact, I think I looked at it like through week five or six, and there were about 15 balls that were either just kind of thrown away in his area or weren't catchable, and he only had two drops on those, which is slightly over 5% at the time, which you want that drop rate under 5%, but he was like right on the borderline, and we're used to so much worse. So I think the thing that is hard to swallow on this one is just that, you know, the touchdown numbers are there. Five in the last four games, which is awesome. You know, he's been excellent in the red zone for us. I think it's the more consistent production over the full length of a game that we would like to see more, but that's, it's so hard to gauge, Ben,
right,
with how we deploy our offense.
Well, you know how I feel about touchdown numbers. Touchdown numbers are the absolute 100% worst way to evaluate any player ever. Touchdown numbers,
right,
for quarterbacks, stupid. Touchdown numbers for pass catchers, running backs, stupid. Like, obviously, they're part of the eval. I get that. I'm being ridiculous. But touchdown numbers are highly situational. Here's my thing with Jeffrey. Everybody is telling me that he's been coming along as of late. Everybody's been telling me that he's developing a rapport with Carson Wentz. And that's wonderful. I see that on the film in the sense that he's making some catches that he was missing. But if we're talking about him coming along across the first six games of the season, he was averaging 53 yards per game with 8 targets, 4 receptions, and 0 touchdowns. Across the next 5 games of the season, he's averaging 60 yards per game on 8 targets with 4 receptions for 1 touchdown. So he's picking up 7 more yards per game on the same number of targets and on the same number of receptions. And then he also has the 1 touchdown. So I don't really see, like, statistically, I don't see the fact that he's come along as of late.
Yeah, but consider the fact, too, that with the game script of those games, we don't have to pass as much and take those shots to Alshon. I think the difference that I've seen as far as that goes, just taking the stats out of it for a second, the difference that I've seen from Alshon in the last few weeks is Carson isn't missing him badly, which he had done early in the season, and Alshon is making the big boy catches that we wanted him to make earlier in the season. That's not a chemistry thing. That's an Alshon thing, right? He's coming down with those contested catches more consistently. Is that something that's going to continue? I don't know. Is it encouraging? Yes. Does it make me feel better about this contract? Yes. My mind is telling me no, but my body is telling me yes, just like we played at the front of this show. So it's fascinating to me that the Eagles are being super aggressive with guys that have expiring contracts coming up. If they want them, Howie will sign them.
Yeah, there was a report from Jason Lockenfora who said the Eagles have now signed, you know, Alshon Jeffrey to a 4-year contract extension. Howie's not done. He's looking to extend Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham, whose contract obviously ends after 2018, so he's a free agent into that 2019 season, which is nuts because you have a very, very good linebacker, Howard. I don't know if Howie's real name is Howard. Howard. You have a very, very good linebacker by the name of Nigel Bradham, who deserves to be re-signed, and he's a free agent this year, and now you can't do it. You can't do it right now, right? Philadelphia coming into 2017 as of right now, according to the numbers, has $2.6 million in cap space as of right now. That technically doesn't get touched by the Jeffrey deal whatsoever, because Jeffries is an extension after his current contract. So you have that $2.6 million in cap space now, but if you go to 2018, before this deal, Philadelphia had $400,000 in cap space. They now have...
That's not a lot.
They're now firmly in the red as far as cap space yeah. goes, right? Even if you look at effectual cap, which kind of accounts for the fact that some players would be off the roster and everything, Philadelphia's still in the red. Philadelphia has distinctly the worst 32nd or the 32nd cap situation right now. Some folks are going to have to be cut. Like, I mean, I'm telling you right now, I don't see how Brent Celek is back on his current
contract.
Right,
that was the first line in my... What about... So, Brent Celek, you've got Trey Burton on a one-year deal. He's probably not back.
Right, because I mean, Burton isn't counting for anything against 2018's cap, though. He's a
and that's what I mean.
Agent. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's not even on there, and you're figuring how do you resign a guy like that? There's Bradham, there's Kendricks, there's guys that need to be paid there. Curry has been playing up to his contract. We're gonna have to rework that or cut him. I mean, that's really the reality of it.
Absolutely.
Some pieces are definitely gonna have to go. What other pieces? Because Torrey Smith isn't gonna be back. Brent Celek won't be back. LeGarrette Blount won't be back. Who else am I missing?
Right. So if we look at first at like pieces that will be free agents who the Eagles probably won't be able to bring back, Trey Burton is there. Remember, Darren Sproles, LeGarrette Blount, both free agents coming into 2018.
Gone.
I expect Blount's definitely gone. I don't see them bringing Sproles back with the way that Corey Clement and Jay Ajayi have been playing. And you drafted Danelle Pumphrey. I don't really see that happening. Brent Celek, probably gone. Chance Wormack, I think, has an option you can pick up in 2018.
Gone.
Yeah, deuces. Bye. Bo Allen, gone. I love Bo, but he should go somewhere where he can two-gap and play better. Nigel Bradham and Najee Good, man, I will be upset if they don't bring Bradham back. He is a top linebacker in the NFL right now. Patrick Robinson, probably gone. Corey Graham, probably gone. Jalen Watkins, who's a restricted free agent, they'll probably try to keep him because they love Jalen Watkins for whatever reason, but I don't know about that. Here's a fun one. I expect them to keep Jake Elliott over Caleb Sturgis now because Sturgis is a free agent coming into 2018, and Jake Elliott has one more year on his deal before he becomes a exclusive rights free agent. So I expect them to keep Elliott now, you know, barring he falls off a cliff with his kicking. But then, yeah, let's say you go ahead and you look at some of these potential cap cuts. You mentioned Vinny Curry. I think Vinny Curry is a guy that he's been playing better, but you have to look at the full body of the work for him. His contract hit, his hit's going to bump up from $9 million this year to $11 million next year. You'd be paying him more than Brandon Graham, paying him more than Chris Long. You know, Chris Long is on a deal here in Philadelphia. He's intended on staying for multiple years. You know, you can extend him in that way. So,
and thinking about the value of Curry is basically our two down guy. Like, he's been excellent against the run. I'm not going to take anything away from him. He's playing up to, you know, his contract now. But as the contract gets bigger and you figure he's only a two down guy, and we have Derek Barnett waiting in the wings, you know, if it's easier to find a rotational guy for Derek Barnett as opposed to having Curry there to be the rotational guy on two downs for Derek Barnett with that kind of contract. So I think he's gone.
Yeah. And then I think the biggest one that you're looking at right now with a question mark has got to be Michael Kendrick's contract. Currently a $6.6 million hit in 2017. That's going to go up to $7.6 million in 2018, and then $8.6 million in 2019. It just continues to grow in that way. Right now, $3.2 million dead cap next year. You get a $4.4 million savings if you cut him. I think it's going to be very difficult to move him in that way. He's been playing better, and so much of his fate is tied to Nigel Bradham and whether or not they extend Nigel Bradham. If it were I, it would be Kendricks is gone. I'm sitting down with Nigel and I'm telling him, listen, if I can re-sign you, then Kendricks is gone, right? Like you are, you know, you and Jordan Hicks are my two linebackers that'll be in there 100% of the snaps. That's got to be the intention there. If you can't re-sign Nigel, then you have to keep Kendricks despite the inflated cap numbers, in my opinion, which is better than his play. So linebacker is now very, very heavily the spot to watch. If they can finesse this, if Howie, with all of his magic, can finesse this, then Philadelphia will go into the 2018 draft needing an offensive tackle and then some depth pieces. And that'll be perfect.
Right.
But I'm telling you, numbers are tight. Cuts are going to have to be made. You're going to have to kiss goodbye to some of your favorites, guys. I mean, I'm telling you, like, I don't want Brent Celek gone, but it's probably gone.
Moving forward, let's roll back to Alshon for a second. How are you feeling about it? Like, if you had to give, I don't want to put you in this position because it's obviously a nuanced conversation, but if you had to give a yes push or a no on this contract extension, where would you be right now?
Can I give it like a letter grade?
Yeah.
I'm at a solid like B minus. B minus probably, I should say. Like B minus, C plus is where I am. It's more than he's worth, which I'm not saying that this is the only contract in the NFL where he's being paid more than he's worth. Obviously, a lot of those contracts exist for every team. But for a team that was strapped for cash, and we've discussed this on the pod, I don't think Alshon has the impact on this offense that's worth $13 million per year. And I understand that anecdotally, it's fun to speak about, oh, Alshon, you know, he takes this attention and he helps Carson Wentz develop and he gives him a contested ball target. And I don't dispute any of that. I'll tell you very frankly, Alshon is a good, talented wide receiver. I absolutely agree with that. He has skills that does not exist anywhere else in this wide receiver core as far as his ability to win contested footballs. The fact that he's, you know, open when he's not open. He's a great red zone threat. The second best red zone threat they have besides Zach Ertz. All of that I don't dispute. But the fact that, you know, we've got a guy who, again, has not had a 100-yard game in his time with Philadelphia, going back to his first game of 2016 with the Bears, he hasn't had a 100-yard game. That's over 20 games right now for Alshon. We're talking about a guy that is, as of right now, making more money than Doug Baldwin. He's making more money technically than T.Y. Hilton is making. T.Y. Hilton's got more money on his deal, and he's got the same number per year. But he's on a 5-year deal, and Alshon guaranteed wise is making more money than T.Y. He's making more money than Keenan Allen is. He's making more money than Emmanuel Sanders is. Both Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson, he's making more money than these guys. I would argue that for Doug, for Keenan, and then for, you know, Green Bay is tough because you've had so many of those guys get injured. But for Doug and Keenan, Alshon does not have the effect on this offense. He's not as valuable to this offense as Keenan and Doug are. That's the reality. And so I think that Alshon is being overvalued. Now, I am almost certain that the main goal of this contract was we have to beat the 2019 market. We have to have a good, strong, you know, wide receiver one talent, I'll say. A guy with a talent to be a wide receiver one in the building before 2019. We need that.
No more frantic moves is what Howie's trying to get to, right?
Right. And so, you know, we have him. He's in the building. We signed him before 2019. This contract will look much better then. You know, I was speaking with John Burchard of Bleeding Green Nation, a good friend of the podcast, and, you know, he was saying, well, you know, we were debating it. So let's revisit it at the end of the season when Alshon's at, like, you know, I think he'll have a 1,000-yard season. He'll have a 10-touchdown season. I don't think Alshon's going to have a 1,000-yard season. As of right now, he's on pace for 900. And as we showed, he's not really increasing his yardage output. And I hear you with he hasn't needed to because the games have been such blowout situations, right? But at the same time, we've got five games.
He wasn't before that either, really, when you think about it. So yeah, right. But like I said, like we talk about all the time, the offense doesn't need him to, you know. So
exactly,
there's that part of it.
Right. Which that's another thing. If there's a conception in the building offensively, you know, saying like, all right, Carson and Alshon are really starting to get on the same page. Let's start to move the offense to be more focused on Alshon. If that's a plan that they've got, great deal. Right, I just don't know that, and there's no reason for me to believe that's the case because the offense has been clicking so well with its spreading of the love. I don't anticipate that it'll change, but if that's what they intend on doing, then you go get your guy, go sign him. You know, I'm fine with that. But yeah, as of right now, with five games left, Alshon would have to average over 75 yards per game. I don't think to hit 1,000. I don't think he sees that value. If he gets 10 touchdowns, cool. But again, I don't really feel great about touchdowns. And so you just gave a guy who hasn't hit, you know, 1,000 yards receiving since 2014. Now, obviously, he's been injured, and, you know, he hasn't been able to put forth 16-game seasons, but that's another thing to consider. You just gave a guy who hasn't hit 1,000 yards since 2014 $13 million per year, and I think that's an overpayment. Now, if they can get through 2018 without terrible cuts and they're able to keep Bradham, then, okay, you overpaid for a guy, but it's fine. If this has ramifications, i.e. they can't re-sign Bradham, I'm definitely going to be more frustrated when that time comes. So B minus, yeah. C plus for me.
Yeah, you're at a B minus, C plus. I'm probably at a solid B, and I want to see how this works out with the cap situation moving forward. Alshon staying healthy as well, which he has this season, thankfully, has also been a problem throughout his career. He was also suspended for PEDs last year for 4 games, so there's that part of it to go along with it. As long as all that checks out, then I'm good with it being a B. I'm good with him being our starting X. I think he's a good weapon for us and will continue to be so. I like having that shirt up in the offseason as well, because because if we're either paying money or we're paying draft capital, it seems like, to fill some of these holes, and we're starting to get less and less holes right now to where we can start going, you know, especially from a draft perspective in a couple of years, it would be awesome to just be able to go best player available instead of having to fill these immediate needs throughout the entire draft because we've been, you know, Chip Kelly gutted our roster. So that's part of it for me. Go to LockedOnEagles.com. Check out that evaluation I have on Alshon Jeffrey that I did in the summer. I'll probably be writing a piece on him today. I want to take a look at some of his film work to follow up on part two of that evaluation with some 2017 tape. So go take a look at that. Also, just recently on LockedOnEagles.com, I did an article on the run game of the Seattle Seahawks. I charted every... You guys should really please appreciate what I do for you guys. I charted every run from the Seahawks' horrid offensive running game and came away charting the read option plays for the Seahawks and also some of the scramble plays for Russell Wilson to highlight something that the Seahawks might try against us. So go check that out on LockedOnEagles.com as well. Ben, any last thing for the listeners before we move along to our game on Sunday?
I hope that this is good. I hope that Alshon plays very well for Philadelphia for a long time. People think that, like, when I disagree with something, it means I, like, hate the player. Right. I don't. I want them to do very well. I like this. I'm happy that there's a good player in Philadelphia for many years. I just want value to be appropriated correctly. That's all.
I love this. All right, Ben. Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.